Chapter 34. I landed with a terrible crunch, floor and debris falling all around me, crashing, tumbling, spinning. My ankle flashed in pain. I pulled up the menu and healed myself, the motion so quick it had become a reflex. Darkness enveloped me. I shook my head, attempting to get the cobwebs out. Despite the healing, I was still disoriented. I saw the blazing red tag of a dangerous monster before I saw the black form it was attached to. A second appeared, then a third. Like Winky had described, these were shadow women with absurdly long limbs crawling on the walls. The bat had failed to mention that each of these witches was about twice the size of a normal human. I tried to grasp my gun. I realized with horror that my right arm was pinned. I'd be able to free myself, but everything was suddenly moving in slow motion. The entire basement was under several inches of black, icy water. The cold seeped into me.
Shoot it!
Hold your weapons. Hold, or we shall devour you all.
Clara hovered into view, her pulse Uzi clutched in her hands. My eyes adjusted enough to see Banksy swirling in circles, clearing the debris away from himself. Water splashed.
Say the word, and I shall strike the one on the left.
I struggled further, kicking the wet debris off my legs. I readied my grappling hook, aiming at the face of the witch who spoke. I pulled up my magic menu, hovering over the invulnerable spell given to me by my armor. Once cast, it'd stay active for just over 15 seconds.
What do you want?
I struggled further, finally yanking my right arm free. The ragged face of the lead witch was suddenly right there, looming over me, grinning. The creature moved like a spider, terrifyingly fast. One moment she was on the wall, the next she hovered over me, like a lover ready to mount. She wore the shadow like a wet, dripping cloak, as if she was dipped in oil. I could barely discern her facial features, except the long, crooked hook of a nose and the sharp glint of her teeth. Her breath stank of mold and dust and fish. Black clumps of filthy hair spilled from her head, the cold, wet tufts framing my neck. I swallowed. I was going to be sick. I caught hints of black, bulbous eyes underneath all that hair, the size of walnuts.
You are what they call worm surgeon.
Guilty.
What are we doing?
Banksy reared up in the room, hovering worriedly. The other two witches had come to surround me. They ignored the others as if they weren't there.
Then you are a thrall of Zagan.
I don't know what that means.
Zagan, the fallen king, the betrayer. You call him guardian.
You mean the shrill?
Yes, the shrill. A fitting name. You are his serf.
Do you want me to shoot this thing or what?
Hold up. I am his, doctor. I was coming to give him a checkup. A long, sinewy hand appeared, running across my neck, through my hair. The other witches crowded around me. Two more sets of jet black, dripping hands started to lovingly stroke at my body. They felt like reeds of sticks prickling over me. They left streaks of black where they touched.
Lamarche, too, wishes for your presence. We have waited for you.
Yes, Queen Lamarche, too.
Mother awaits.
Who the hell is Lamarche, too? And who the hell are you?
Queen Lamarche, too, was Zagan's intended for the great betrayal.
The witch on top of me traced the outline of my chin with her finger. I felt the crackle of electricity.
We are the daughters of the queen. She has come to this place to make peace with her former lover.
My mind swirled. This was game lore stuff. I only knew a small part of the overall story. Since Anatoly had programmed out all of the game's cutscenes, I'd missed a lot. But I could fill in some of the holes. I knew my kaiju, the Shrill, was the only guardian who was once a demon himself. He had betrayed the princes and kings of hell, choosing instead to fight against them. I didn't know why. I didn't know if it was important.
Wait.
So your mom is one of the boss demons who have invaded this world? And she's here because she's pissed the Shrill dumped her? Did I get that right? Well, what do you expect me to do about it?
Duke? A bunch more of these ladies are coming over here. A handful just crawled in the front door, and I can see hundreds more emerging from the buildings all around us.
Don't shoot them! Let's see where this is headed.
It's headed toward a terrible death. These guys have an electric attack, and in case you haven't noticed, you're sitting in 3 inches of water!
I can hear them now, rustling about upstairs, pulling up the remaining floorboards, crawling down the walls, splashing into the basement.
She comes!
The lead witch scrambled off of me, prostrating herself onto the ground.
Oh, my mother! My queen! It was I who found the worm surgeon! It was I!
She lies! I sensed him first!
No, it was me! I broke the floor, pulled him into our trap!
A dull light half illuminated the dark basement. There was no source. It was as if the brightness on my visual display had been turned up a hair. The witches remained inky pools, their forms drinking the light. I wasn't sure what I was expecting to happen next. A magnificent demon descending from high, arms outstretched. Or perhaps a hideous queen, a monster of indescribable terror. Something as glorious as it was terrible. I was not expecting a donkey. The beast jumped into the room from above. It landed with a splash. It had a ribbon around its dainty neck. A small bell hung from the ribbon, and it gave a light jingle as the donkey settled to a stop. This was a normal donkey. A small donkey at that, like the size of one of those Shetland ponies. And other than its uncanny ability to be able to jump a full story down into a basement unharmed, there was nothing about it indicating it to be anything other than ordinary. That is, except for the name tag blazing over it in red, flaming letters.
Queen Lamashtra.
Prince Stolas had a single flaming crown after his name. This donkey had twin crowns, one before and one after. Stolas had been a prince. This was a queen. A donkey queen. All around me, witches hissed and lowered themselves in worship. They were suddenly everywhere, prostrating themselves before their mother. They filled the room, the walls around me in the basement, peering down over the hole in the floor. Hundreds of them. The black oil seeped off them, pooling all around me, joining with the water of the basement. Clara hovered into my view, floating in midair in the midst of the witches.
Okay, what the hell?
Mother.
Queen Lamashtu the donkey clomped up to me. She placed a single hoof on my chest, but she did not lean her weight on me. She reached down and sniffed me several times, the hot air blasting my face.
The queen has an offer for you.
You know you crazy assholes are all worshipping a donkey, right?
Lamashtu seeks something. A small token from her former paramour. You shall retrieve this for her. In exchange, she shall grant you a mighty boon.
And what's that?
A key. Access through the rift. The ability for your guardians to enter hell and to confront Baal himself and to defeat him.
She pronounced the demon lord's name like Baal, not Baal. but even I knew that name, and I didn't know much about this demonic crap at all. Moloch, Beelzebub, Baal, no matter how they pronounced it here, and Baphomet. They were all just fancy ways of saying the devil, Satan, the head bad guy. I knew all those names probably had different specific meanings and weren't really the same thing. But this was a video game, not a scholarly treatise on demonic lore. My vision flickered, oddly. I didn't know what that meant. I looked up at Clara, who suddenly looked serious.
We gotta do this.
She didn't seem to have noticed the odd stutter.
Getting into the rift is one of the requirements of the endgame sequence. Anatoly said there was something like 1,000 possible endings, and getting access into hell is one of the hurdles.
The donkey was now chewing on something and drooling on my chest. Its ear flickered. Okay. So what is this small token I need to get?
Queen Lamashtu wishes for an heir. She has us, her daughters, her legions. But we are not of her loins. She yearns for a son. You are to impregnate Lamashtu.
Yeah, I'm not fucking a donkey.
Not your unworthy seed. You must obtain the seed of Zagan, fertilize the egg, and bring it to Lamashtu.
With no warning, the donkey turned, grunted, and laid an egg on my chest.
Hell Quest. The Shrill Seed. Queen Lamashtu seeks a child with her former lover. Facilitate this request for a reward. Take the unfertilized demon egg. Bathe it in guardian sperm to complete the fertilization process. Return to Lamashtu. Reward? Upon successful completion of all tasks, the World Rift will become accessible to two-way travel. The rift will open at midnight after the first full day once the task is complete. Note, the opening of the rift is required to win the game.
I looked at the black egg suddenly sitting heavy on my chest. It was soft, but jiggly, like a hard-boiled egg with no shell and covered with goo. It was the size of a football, but it had a heft to it, weighing a good 5 pounds.
Quest item. Unfertilized Lamashtu egg.
You know, the shrill is a bit larger than your queen here. Is she sure she wants to have a guardian baby?
You have your task. If you agree to it, we shall clear the way for you.
Is the way not clear now?
The legions of King Videa block your passage. They attempt to bring Zagan to justice.
Ah, for fuck's sake. My head was already swimming with all these names. Stolas, Andrus, Lamashtu, Zagan, Baal, and now Vinia. Who is this guy?
Are you really this ignorant of the stage on which you dance? King Vinia is one of the greatest leaders of Hell, one of the most fearsome generals. It is he who created the Rift. It is he who sends his legions to hound Zagan. He wishes for nothing more than for Zagan, your shrill, to be brought to justice, to be returned to stand in judgment before Baal. This devastation, this great city, it fell eons ago because of Vinea's rage. Your guardians are magically prevented from entering the cities, lest they bring boundless destruction to the homes of your people. But when Zagan betrayed Baal to come to your aid, he was not restrained by the magic that protected this city. Zagan helped banish us back into the depths, back into the dark. But his great battle with Vinea fell this city, killing most of your kind, forcing you to create a new homestead, this Medina. And you learned nothing from the last time. Once again, you have protected yourself from your own saviors. It will be your undoing. Soon, the walls of Medina will fall. Your guardians cannot save you. And once Medina falls, the path to your celestial gates will be open. And we will pour into the heavens like wolves set upon children.
Wait. If that's what you want, to storm the heavens or whatever, then why would you offer me the key to the rift? It doesn't make sense.
My queen does not wish to rule the heavens. She sees value in the current status quo. But her true motivations are not your concern. You have the egg. Now, will you complete your task?
Sure. I've always wanted to jerk off a kaiju anyway.
We shall seal this agreement.
The donkey stepped forward, moving over my prone body. What are you doing? What's happening? The donkey's belly hung over my face. She even smelled like a regular donkey. I had a quick memory of visiting a farm on a field trip in elementary school. I soon realized it wasn't exactly the donkey's stomach, but its udders. Is that what they called it on a donkey? Twin nipples dangled over my mouth, a pair of wrinkled eraser tips, both dripping with black milk.
Drink the mother's milk. Drink, and the deal will be sealed.
I prefer my contracts to be in writing.
Drink, drink, consume. Drink, 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 consume.
The chant was deafening, like a crowd of thousands were crying it all at once. The pure volume shocked me. I could hear them screaming and crying all around, shaking the walls like I was suddenly in the middle of a football stadium. I realized with amazement that it was thousands. Every building probably had these witch things hidden within, waiting. And now that I was found, they'd literally come out of the woodwork. All of them, converging on this one place. The nipple descended toward my mouth. Oh! I clamped my lips shut.
Just drink it!
Don't do it, Father. Don't! It smells really gross.
Drink! Drink! Seal the deal. It is a gift, a token of her love.
Fuck. Fuck! I didn't know if this was a brilliant idea or a stupid one, since I could only do this once every 24 hours. But I activated my invulnerable spell. My skin glowed yellow, and a 15.4-second timer started descending. I reached up, clasped onto the nipple with my mouth, and I drank, slurping loudly. The nipple stiffened, shooting sideways so the milk hit the sides of my mouth. All around me, the witches resumed their groaning. They gyrated back and forth. The room shook with their movement. The spray turned to a hose. And suddenly my mouth was full. The donkey's weight was on me, and I drank. And drank. Once, when I was 12 years old, I'd lost a bet against a kid named Joe Shipnick. We'd raced to the end of the street, slapped a blue mailbox, and returned to his driveway. He'd beat me by a hair. He'd cheated, I'd insisted, him having given himself an unfair head start. But there was a crowd, and the consensus was that I'd lost. And because there were witnesses, I was stuck. I'd lost, and a bet was a bet. I had to drink a glass of the milk. Every kid in the neighborhood knew about the milk. Earlier that day, Joe Shipnick had been tasked by his mother to clean out the travel trailer that lived in their front driveway. They'd taken it out 2 weekends earlier on a short camping trip. In that trailer was a refrigerator. In that refrigerator was a cardboard half gallon of milk. It had been sitting in the fridge for 2 weeks without power. Joe had taken the half gallon of now solid milk out of the travel trailer, peeled away the cardboard around it, and splatted the remains into a giant mixing bowl, placing it on the sidewalk in front of his house in some sort of active performance art. The curdled milk had started to mold, and a black fuzz covered the top layer. He'd found some rotten apple juice, also in the travel trailer, and he'd poured it into the bowl. Another kid named Braden Mayhee came along and poured a 5-hour energy drink into the mix. As the day wore on, more and more kids started adding things to the soup. It had become a thing, a summer day attraction for the neighborhood. Another kid named Samir claimed to have peed in the bowl, but nobody saw him. I'd personally added a half packet of Sour Patch Kids. By the end of the afternoon, the mix contained candy, soda, lunch meat, bits of dirt and grass, a dollop of tuna, mayonnaise, and all sorts of other unmentionables. Then, 15-year-old Brenda Wallace took the bowl, poured the contents into a blender, mixed it up good, and transferred the smoothie into a metal pot. At this point, it was like brown oatmeal streaked with random rainbow swirls. She cooked it on her stove while half the neighborhood piled into her kitchen to watch. Her parents were gone at work, and within 5 minutes, we'd all fled because the liquefied stew smelled as if it was the hot diarrhea of a diseased skunk. And then came the bet. It was my idea. I'd defeated Joe dozens of times in races at school, and I knew I could take him now. He'd been bragging about how he could run a 100-meter dash in 10-something seconds, which was absolute bullshit. So I challenged him. Every middle school summer has a main event. Sometimes it comes unexpectedly, but when it happens, everyone recognizes it for what it is. Word spread. A gauntlet had been thrown down. The prospect of someone drinking the milk had become a very real possibility. You didn't just back out of bets. It was unheard of. So, we raced. I lost. Brenda Wallace, who'd spent the last hour airing out her house in an attempt to cleanse it of the stench before her parents got home, had taken up the role of executioner. In an act of mercy, she chose a small, double shot glass from her dad's collection instead of the big gulp cup Joe was insisting upon now that he'd won. By now, a crowd had gathered. It was probably only 30 kids or so, but in the retellings of this day that would plague me for the rest of my life, some people would claim it was 300. Brenda dipped the glass in the concoction, and she solemnly handed it to me. The crowd had gone silent. A bet was a bet. They knew it. I knew it. Nothing could be done for me now. The milk had turned a bright yellow and had the consistency of potato soup. Things floated in it. It was still warm. I said a quick prayer for my soul. I held my nose, and I drank it all in one gulp. And up until the moment I nursed at the nipple of the Donkey Queen, Joe Shipnick's summertime milk had been the most disgusting thing I had ever put in my mouth. I'd become violently ill that day so many years ago. Some said my vomit was a bright, chunky pink and actually hissed on its own accord, slipping away to live in the sewer after I splashed it all over the cul-de-sac. I'm pretty sure I was supposed to be poisoned and die when I drank Lamashtu's milk. But thanks to my invulnerability, I just felt like dying. I did not vomit. Colors flashed. The world spun. The nipple raised away. The witches waved their long arms toward the donkey and me. They swayed and chanted, shrieking something in a language I did not understand.
You have consumed milk of Lamashtu. +1 strength, +1 acumen, +1 durability, +1 deftness, +1 charm. The legions of Queen Lamashtu will no longer attack you as long as you remain in Lamashtu's favor. If you fall out of favor, the Queen's legions, cellar hags, pain seedlings, and trivets, will have a plus 10% damage bonus upon attack.
And then, Queen Lamashtu floated into the air. Clara scrambled out of the way as the donkey rose, snorting and flicking its ears, seemingly oblivious. It floated out of the room and disappeared. I caught Clara's eye. My face dripped with black milk.
So, that just happened.
Thank you for listening to Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon, Episode 4, The Milk. Written by Matt Dinneman. Narrated and directed by Jeff Hayes. Featuring Andrea Parsnow as Sausage Becky and Banksy. Annie Ellicott as The Head Witch and Blinky. Justin Thomas James as Jay Beefy and Crust Sock. And Dory Sachs as Clara. Music by Aaron J. Morton. Sound design by Ahmed Mahmoud. Editing, mastering, and additional sound effects by Richard Smith. Other additional sound effects by Augustine Jacob. Facebook groups are fantastic for finding more listeners like you. For more great video game fiction, join a dedicated Facebook group, such as the GameLit Society, Lit RPG Books, or the Lit RPG Forum. Or if you prefer Reddit, join r/LitRPG. Want more Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon? Join our newsletter at soundbooththeater.com and stay up to date on the next episode, releasing every last Thursday of the month. Can't wait for the whole story? You can find Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon on Kindle by searching Amazon. Can't get enough of the Matt Dinneman and Jeff Hayes team? Check out Dungeon Crawler Carl on Audible. Text copyright 2019 by Matt Dinneman. Production copyright 2022 by Sound Booth Theatre. A Sound Booth Theatre production.